You're listening to the podcast of Real Life Church. We love, we live, we relate.
It's just so good to be able to get together again this morning. And we're living in the most crazy times, and in these times where people are weighing up, you know, what have the prophets said? What's the prophetic voice? Why haven't we been brought a clear word and direction for what's happening in COVID, what's happening around the world? And I do think there are so many people that are becoming skeptical about what's happening. I want to take a moment to try and address some of that this morning, and I will carry on addressing some of it next week. But if you've got your Bibles with you, your iPhones, your iPads, your apps, your technology, won't you take a moment and open with me to Luke chapter 24. So in Luke 24, and we're going to go to verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed things, Jesus himself suddenly appeared and began to walk with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing so intensely as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened over the past few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders have handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. These things all happened 3 days ago." And over the past couple of months, I've talked so much about the transformation that is happening and is taking place through and in the church in these crazy times. And all that we have taught and all we've prepared for over the past couple of months and the past couple of years have brought us to this place where there is a perceived uncertainty. And the reason why I say perceived uncertainty is because if you allow your situation and circumstance to define you, you'll become pessimistic about what you see around you if your hope and your vision isn't grounded in the kingdom of God. Because friends, the world, let alone the church, has never been in this place before. We have never had 2020 before. We've never been so polarized through old paradigms and paradigm thinking, where old wineskins are bursting the seams. In politics, in business, in life. And sadly, in the church as well. Even in the church, there's a pessimism and there's a sense that hope has been lost. But the reality, friends, is the church should be leading the way. A couple of weeks ago, Candace addressed this so well in her message, A Paradigm Shift in Thinking, which is available on our podcast. Old movements, old wineskins are falling apart and coming dismantled at the seams. There are more and more people who are leaving the church today. There are more young people leaving the church than ever before. People aren't attracted to the church anymore. People no longer look to the church as a sense of moral compass, as a sense of breakthrough, as a sense of hope and revival. It's like these two young disciples that are leading the skepticism exit. And as a church, we need to be in step with Holy Spirit. For us as a group of friends, my prayer is this. It's like becoming the sons of Issachar. These men understood the times and they knew what to do. Friends, people should be able to look at us. People should be able to look at the church and say, they are the people who understand the times and know what to do. I think one of the reasons that so many people are bored with the church is that they've lost their calling, they've never discovered their giftings, and they have no idea what their assignment is. The thing that I'm so amazed about, the people who are feeling hopeless and desperate at the moment in lockdown are the people who don't know what to do. And this year is a year where the rubber hits the road, where prophetic vision, where practice, and when I say practice, I'm not talking about just doing the same thing over and over again, hoping that you'll get it right, but it's a prophetic vision. The practice of taking personal responsibility for your calling, for your assignment, and what God has called you to do, where these things are grounded in the earth. 2020 has definitely brought an opportunity for heaven to be seen on earth. And in Luke 24, we have this obscure story of two disciples walking on the way to Emmaus. But when I look at this, the part that stands out to me the most is the first three words, that same day. For me, it's so interesting because this is a day that the woman showed up at the tomb and the stone had been rolled away. This was National Tomb Day. It was the first Easter. This is Resurrection Day. The stone had been rolled away. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has conquered hell. The angels are there, and they appear to the woman. And so the angels appear to the woman, and the woman went and told the men, and what happened? They didn't believe them. Some things just don't change, do they? So the men didn't believe them. The men didn't believe the woman who had it right the first time, and we've got to go and find out for ourselves. So off the men go, to go and see for themselves what's happening. And friends, this is the greatest day in human history. The universe has been changed for eternity. And two disciples are walking away. Two disciples are walking away. They are discouraged. They're disappointed. They're depressed. This is not what we had hoped for. We thought he was the one. And friends, it's not so unrealistic because even in this crazy season, we can be in this space too. This is not what we hoped for. This is not how we thought it would happen. I thought he would make a way. I thought there was breakthrough. Someone can have the greatest defining, life-changing encounter with God, and in the same environment, others will leave more skeptical than ever before. It's crazy that some people encountered angels at a tombstone, and at the exact same time, some disciples walked away from their assignment, from their destiny, from their calling. It's one of the first post-resurrection stories ever. And so it's nothing new when we see people walking away from God. It's happened since the day of resurrection itself, where people turn their back and they walk away from all that has been given to them. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see people. We shouldn't be surprised when we see disciples. We shouldn't be surprised when we even see believers walk away from Jesus. We can't be surprised when people walk away from their calling, when people choose to walk away from their gifting, and they walk away from their assignment. But for me, the thing that is really surprising is that Jesus is walking with them. Jesus is walking with them away from their calling. Jesus is walking with them away from their assignment. I don't know what Jesus should have been doing on this day. I don't know where Jesus should have been on this day. If you and I were the chief of staff for Jesus's Ministry International. We're starting a new movement called the church. We would rally the people around. We'd be setting vision. We'd be having a meeting. We'd be having quiche or something. And yet Jesus is choosing to walk with the disciples who are going in the wrong direction. And they leave the community and Jesus walks with them. They leave truth and Jesus walks with them. They leave their destiny and Jesus walks with them. They leave the destiny for the community and Jesus is walking with them. Friends, do we continue to walk with people as Jesus did when they are giving up, when they are retreating, when they are following the exit strategy? Do we leave people to their own devices when we suddenly think that they aren't doing or going in the direction that we want them to go? The reality is that Jesus comes alongside them and meets them in their pain. He meets them in their doubt. He meets them in their skepticism. And that's what is so beautiful with even like Rochelle and the team who go out to go and meet people where they are at. Friends, I think more often it's us as believers choosing to go and meet people where they're at rather than trying to coerce them to come into where we are. Jesus isn't ashamed of their skepticism. Jesus is not confined to religious structures that the church is so often confined to. Jesus is far more relational than anything else. So here is Jesus, who can walk with anyone, anywhere, to see a heart transformed with unconditional relational love. Jesus is joining their story. The reality is, most of the time, church want people to come and join our story. Jesus is not stressed out by the fact that they may have hurts or pains, doubt or skepticism or bad attitude or whatever the case may be. Jesus isn't messed up because they are going in the wrong direction. Jesus is fully present with them and where they are. And one of the things that I'm intrigued about in this situation is Jesus doesn't reveal himself too quickly. Now, if I was Jesus and I was walking with these people that are turning away, I would arrive. I would instantly arrive. I would have a smoke machine hidden in the rocks somewhere. I would have a lightning bolt come just in front of me. And I would arrive and go, "Hey, dudes, look at my hands. Wow, have you any idea who I am?" And I think so many of us are so caught up with the bells and smells of the platform or the pulpit or the paycheck that we miss out on the opportunity to see a heart transformed and a life changed forever. I wonder how often we blame God. "I thought God was with me. God deserted me in my time of need. As soon as I turned away from the church turned away from me." Where is Jesus in the situation? We give people this false sense that Jesus is in the church and Jesus is with us. And for you to have Jesus, you need to be in my camp, in my sphere, in my denomination, in my Sunday morning service. I guess we can say that when we turn away from Jesus, Jesus turns with us. When we walk away from Jesus, Jesus walks with us. No matter how far we walk, Jesus always walks further. Because the reality is he went to hell and back for you and for me. But Jesus isn't quick to reveal himself. There is a supernatural sense of restraint that God has. The patience of Jesus is something phenomenal. Because the reality is, Jesus is not trying to fix them. Jesus wants to transform them. You know, God is not into a quick fix situation. God is not into behavior modification. He's into the transformation of the heart. The restraint of God should not override our personal responsibility. The restraint of God to not rob us of our transformational journey. So for miles and miles, Jesus chooses to walk with them. How far are we willing to walk for people? You know, I've been thinking about real life and in my preparation for this message, and I don't think there is anyone who's left real life where we haven't tried to walk with them for part of the journey. I can think of only one person who's left real life where I've had a coffee for them, with them, and come to the conclusion that our journey cannot go any further. But everybody that's left real life, I've continued to pray for or have a relationship with. Even at times where it keeps me awake at night, because I won't give up on the call and what God is doing in their life. For people who have hurt me, abused me, and really disappointed me, I make sure that on a regular basis, I continue to press in, because my heart, my desire, my passion is for relational transformation the way that Jesus would have it. And yet, friends, I think too often we are quick to give people an answer. As I said last week, we are too quick to lecture before we listen. If Jesus had the patience and the restraint to walk for miles with people before he revealed his master plan, why are we so quick to quote a Bible verse and give them a bumper sticker cliche? I think part of it is because we don't do time. We don't believe that we're in there for the long haul. We don't believe that we are in here for life. We're not totally committed with covenant. We have this false sense of, I'm committed as long as it works for me. I'm committed as long as we are going in the same direction. I'm committed as long as we are on the same page. But the reality is almost everybody that God wants you to minister and have influence in is not on the same page as you. They are not walking in the same direction as you. But we need to develop a strength and a stamina for relational pursuit to see hearts changed and lives transformed. Because we as believers and as a church can be so preoccupied with an outcome that we rob people, that we rob them of their beautiful journey of redemption. We want the band-aid. We want the quick fix. We're prepared to cover over things to be able to see an instant success. But that's not what Jesus wants from us. We create these weird and religious environments where people are so nervous to come face to face with their angers, with their fears, with their skepticism, with their frustrations, that it creates so many fake and pretentious people inside and outside the church, where it robs people of the opportunity for transformational growth and breakthrough. It robs the church of the opportunity for genuine vulnerability with one another. This is a profound passage. And the world is full of questions. But friends, if Jesus has enough restraint, if Jesus has the patience to not reveal himself, but to walk a journey with people so that they get their breakthrough, then we need to learn to get on the road with them, even if they are going in what's perceived to be the wrong direction. Let's not super spiritualize things and make church more complicated than it ought. I'm going to carry on with this next week, but I want to finish with this, that we need to change the doctrine of disruption that I think so many of us have, and rather make it a journey to Jesus.
Thank you for listening.